everybody. Welcome to episode 76 of Three Guys Before the Game. It's a historic show because... What? Where's the host?
This apparently wasn't a big enough show for him to be here. He's sitting this one out. Meaningless show to him. He just sits it out.
Well, he's looking out for the rest of his career.
He must be.
By sitting this out.
Must be. Saving his voice.
Brad Howell, Nate Adrian here. I'm Hoppy Kercheval. Welcome to Three Guys Before the Game. It is the post-Rhode Island edition, and there's a lot to talk about. It doesn't start with the Rhode Island game. It starts with the Sagaball saga. Sagaball Kanate. He's in, he's out. He's hurt, he's not. He's on fire, he's not to be seen. Coach Bob Huggins said that WVU actually issued a release prior to the Rhode Island game saying that Kanate was not going to play because he had a sore knee, even though he was extremely effective in the game just prior to that. And then after the game against Rhode Island, which we're going to talk about, Huggins said, and this, we got to talk about this quote. Huggins says, it's up to him, Kanate, it's up to him and his brother when he plays and when he doesn't play. Nate Adrian, I thought the coach and the player decided that. I thought the coach had a lot to do with that. But it's up to Sagaball Kanate and his brother. What's going on here?
Now, when Coach Hugg says that, he's not saying that he's making decisions on when he's going to play or not. It's that they are making decisions on when Sags is going to practice or not, and Sags isn't going to play if he doesn't practice.
So you think it's about practice?
It's 100% about practice. In Hugg's system, you don't practice. If you don't practice, you're not going to play. It hasn't changed ever. It's not going to change for anyone. It doesn't matter how good you are. If you don't practice, you're not going to play in the games.
Brad, is about not practicing?
It is. And so the story there to me, Hoppy, is not that Sags is in or out, because we've seen this all year. That's been the question all year. We come into every game. Is Sags going to play? And then if he plays, how's he going to produce? You mentioned the Pitt game. He was fantastic. What happened to West Virginia? How'd they look? They won, even though they had 26 turnovers. So when he's on the floor, it's a better team. But I think what you're seeing there, that's the first time publicly Bob Huggins has brought to the forefront kind of the drama that has been existing behind the scenes with Sags, his family members. What's right for him? He had the knee procedure this summer. Is he hurt? Is he not hurt? What level is he hurt? What level of pain is he in? There's nothing structural in the knee, Nate. They've had multiple MRIs that have shown nothing. But player pain, is it there? Is it not there? I think there's two conflicting camps on what exists and what doesn't exist right
now. And Nate, how do you know? I mean, you played. How does anybody know other than the player of how much pain you have? And then players, different players can handle different levels of pain. So don't you have to defer to the player?
I guess you have to, but everybody's going to play with a little bit of pain. Maybe not this early in the year, but at some point, injuries are going to happen to absolutely everybody. So you play through pain all the time. So at what point do you say it's okay if you do play or you don't play? Clearly, he is capable of playing with whatever pain he says he is. When he plays in games, he's produced. He has not looked injured. He hasn't limped. He hasn't been slow. He's been athletic. So you can't sit here and tell me that he's in a ton of pain where he can barely run up and down the court and play.
Can I stop right there?
Yeah.
We probably need a second opinion other than Adrian. I mean, this is a guy that played with, what'd you have, a broken wrist, a separated shoulder. I mean, this is a guy that had about as high a threshold for pain.
He's at the far end of the counter.
I'm not sure he's the one that should tell you if you should play with pain or not, because I don't know that he was ever healthy at West Virginia.
Yeah,
well, but that is an issue. So Nate makes a pretty good point. When Sags has been in the lineup, you've seen him perform at a really high level. You just mentioned that Pitt game. I mentioned Pitt game. He played at a really high level. So this is an on. How do you get resolution to this?
Well, see, I think
how do you get to the finish line here?
Here's the larger issue is I don't know how much pain he has or doesn't have. I don't know the extent of his knee injury. There's no way to actually know. What you can divine from this is that this is an issue on this team. This is an issue between Kanate and Huggins and the brother. And this is an issue on the team. That to me is a larger point, really, than the extent of an injury, because if he is injured and he's rehabbing and he'll be back soon, that's one thing. But if there is discord and distrust, then that's a whole nother thing that can infect, that not only affects that relationship, but can and will infect the team.
How about not can or will? How about is? What's this team's record right now? It's lost some games that had no business losing, so it's clearly happening right now. So it's not only the on-court issues when Sagabaugh Kanate is not playing. Just take the basketball player Sags Kanate. If he's not in this lineup, this team obviously is nowhere near as good as it can be. So you take that guy out of the lineup and you've got problems. Now take him out of the lineup and add the drama that is going around and the rest of the guys, Nate, not knowing whether he will be there or not, you can see why this thing has been such a mess, and we're only in mid-December.
Yeah, let's take a look at Coach Hug's perspective. He has a player who is not practicing and then coming out and playing in games, and everyone else on the team is seeing this. They're seeing a kid who doesn't practice and then still plays in a game, so they're thinking, why am I putting myself through this every day and all this? So at some point, Hugs has to make a point that Sags can't do this anymore, or else the rest of the team is going to have the same kind of ideas.
I mean, practice is not just about getting ready for the next game. It's about a unity of the team. Everybody's in it together. And if a guy is not practicing, you know, that's the first thing you notice, right? You're out there looking around and you go, oh, you're not practicing. Okay.
Yeah, and that's...
And are you going to feel like he is then treated differently? And the fact that Kanate didn't play against Rhode Island, either he physically wasn't able or Hugs, as you said, Nate, said, you're not practicing, you're not playing, to try to keep some stability on the team.
I mean, I guarantee that's what he's done. He's going to continue to do it. I think he sat out two games this year, and they're both for the same reason, that he didn't practice, and that's to make a point that, like I said many times, if you don't practice, you're not going to play.
Yeah.
So it's awful early to say the season is on the line, but it would appear to be on the line.
The season is on the line.
Oh, you're going to say it?
Well, yeah, we have four losses. We have six wins. So we win the next two non-conference games. We get to eight wins. That means we have to get to 20 to get in the NCAA tournament. So you're going to tell me we're going to win 12 games in the Big 12 and we're losing to a middle-of-the-pack A-10 team?
It does not appear that way right now.
No.
All right, let's go to that then, because they lost to Rhode Island. And what was the takeaway, Brad, from that game?
Well, the takeaway was kind of what we talked about off the floor. It's starting to look like that on the floor. This team is nowhere near as good defensively as we've seen the last couple of years. So when it has offensive struggles, it can't cover that up with the defense as we have seen from West Virginia over the last three, 4 years. So that the problem, it's disjointed on both ends. There's not enough guys guarding. There's not enough guys scoring and producing offense. And we go back to Kanate being out. He was so consistent last year. You had he and Carter on the floor that every night you knew you had your one and two guys, Nate. You knew you had your top two players and they were going to produce. Then you could mix in a number three. Some nights it was Wes Harris. Some nights it was Issa Ahmad. Some nights it was Beadle Bolden scoring. Some nights Lamont West. Those are pretty good number three and four options. Well, this year, there's not a one, nor is there a two on a consistent basis. So who is the bell cow for this team? No one has stepped forth. So if you want to look just on the floor, to me, that's the biggest problem. One, what does this team do well? So far, I can't hang its hat on anything. And two, who are the one or two guys that are going to step forward and lead this team?
No, and there's no way to know, because every time you think that someone's going to step up and play well, they disappear. Issa showed you he scored 30 in a game, and then he'll come out and you won't see him for an entire game. Beadle shoots the ball well, scores a bunch of points, leads the team well, then comes out and has 1 point and five fouls and four turnovers. Sags did the same thing against Florida. All we say, he's played so well, he came out, had five turnovers and five fouls against Florida. So, I mean, people are just disappearing in these big games, which you can't do.
Brad, to go back to your point, is that last year you had enough skill and you had Javon Carter so that if you went through that dry spell and West Virginia shot 32% against Rhode Island, you might be able to survive that. Maybe if during that long drought you held the other team to a couple buckets. So you might be able to survive that. Then somebody gets hot again or Carter makes a big shot. But when you're shooting 32% and the other team is going to shoot 47% and score 83 points, you're not going to survive that because you're not getting it on the defensive end.
47%.
Yeah.
I mean, think of that. The opposing team shot 47% and then go to the other benchmarks we always look at. Look at the turnovers again. West Virginia with 16 turnovers, Rhode Island with just 9. So yeah, to your point, this team isn't skilled and talented enough on the offensive end yet to overcome those defensive efficiencies. They have to play defense, and they're just not right now. The thing's disjointed on both ends of the floor, which, Nate, obviously is a horrific combination. If you're not going to play defense well enough and you can't score, then you're just sitting out there, and hence you're 6-4 on the season.
No, because when we do go on these 3 or 4 minute dry spells, it's not that other teams scoring 2 or 4 points or even 6 or 8 that you can make up. They're going up 14 and 16 points, an unsurmountable amount of points that we aren't skilled enough on offense to make up.
Yeah. So this thing is in danger right now of just being barely mediocre this year. Barely. Is that the right phrase? I mean, is that what they're in danger of being, barely mediocre? I mean, not bad. Or would you say bad? I mean, was it bad?
I don't know. I tell you what, I'm trying to not be a prisoner of the moment and see what you just saw, but I don't know that's unfair. It's trending in that direction right now. And again, as Nate pointed out, you're getting ready to enter the teeth of the schedule with the Big 12 conference. The conference is going to be what it always is. It's deep. There's some high-end elite. Texas Tech, Kansas look very, very good. But even the bottom of this league, which West Virginia is staring at the bottom of this league right now, where are your wins come January or February if this doesn't make a complete 180 really quickly?
Well, how do you get it turned around? If you're Huggins, Nate will start with you. I mean, you got to try to coach him up. You got to do something. Where do you start? What do you do? I mean, sans Canate. Let's take that aside for the moment and let's look at the rest of the team. What do you build here? What do you build on?
Yeah, I'm not worried about who's not going to play. You got to worry about who is going to play, who's going to be present, and how you're going to build around that. And it's not like we don't have building blocks to build around. If you get Jermaine Haley to start playing well and have him playing point guard, then you can have Beadle at the two to make shots. You still have Lamont who can make shots. East is still a good player. And Logan and Jordan can split the minutes at the five and still play well. So there's a lot of places to build around. I think that you need to find a way to make them understand that the only way we're going to win is if we do it as a unit. No one guy is going to be able to take this team over and get wins. So I think you have to start by driving that in and really harping the defensive end, because clearly when we go on these drive spells, then we need to be solid on defense.
Brad,
someone's got to be there to be the one, though, don't they? Someone has got to step up and lead this team, because again, the athletic ability of the teams you're going against are just going to get better. Who's the one guy? I mean, Issa Ahmad's the most talented guy on this roster, with Canate or not. Is he able? We've been saying this for 3.5 years. You've seen those flashes where he can put up 27 and 8, where he can put up 30, where he can dominate a game. Is he at a position that we just say that's not what his game is? He's not going to do that this year? Or can he flip that switch and become a guy here in Big 12 play that you look at and go, yep, there's a pro. That guy's going to make money playing professional basketball somewhere, and then you start with that. You start with a guy that can lead you every night.
I think he needs to make that decision to do it, because he is the one that's capable of doing it. He needs to realize that he only has X amount of games left in his career to show scouts and show anyone overseas what he is capable of doing, because once that's over, then it's over, and you have no more opportunities.
You know, I wonder if – and again, it's hard to know. It's hard to get in Sagabal Kanate's head, but it seems to me that this stuff is damaging to him and to his brand. He looks
for
to the next
career,
level. For a pro career. And so he's got – at some point, he's got to make a decision about what's in his best interest, and it's not just and it's to be the kind of player that they want in the NBA, which is a brutal league. I mean, you got to be durable and you got to be able to play, and if they think that you're not durable, where are you going to go?
Well, and so that's a great point. So you're talking 82 games versus 30 some, almost three times as many games. What's the phrase, Nate? You can't make the club from the tub.
Yep,
is that what
it.
They say? All right, so stick with that. But think where Canate was last year. He explored the NBA, right? And what was the feedback? You're not ready yet. Go back to college and work on your game. You're not working on your game if you're not in the lineup. So just selfishly from his standpoint, never mind what his presence means to the team, never mind how he can help this particular club, just take it from his perspective. What he needs to do to help his prospects down the road, he's got to be in there and producing. He's got to block shots. He's got to rebound. That's the way he's going to play his way either onto an NBA roster or onto a lucrative overseas contract. But the stuff that's going on now with your head coach coming out and publicly questioning your will to play and your family situation, if you're an NBA GM and you're looking at this about a guy that's a borderline guy anyway, this isn't Zion Williamson that's a lock. This is a borderline guy anyway. For his own self-interest, Canate's, he's got to get himself back in there somehow. This is not helping him.
Yeah, let's look at it this way. In the NBA, you're going to play back-to-backs. You're going to play road games on one-day rest. And the fact that you couldn't get yourself ready after playing one of your better games and having 8 days until your next game and you can't get yourself ready to at least play, then that really does not look good. Nobody's going to pay you to be ready once a week.
So he either needs to get to the point where, okay, I'm in. I get it. I'm in. I'm going to play through this and I'm going forward. or he's got to get to the point where he has a serious knee issue and he shuts it down and says, I'm unable to go. My health is not at a point where it can go. I'm going to shut it down and prepare for the NBA draft. I mean, it's almost got to be one of the, you can't continue to exist with, I'm going to play this game, but then I'm going to sit one, then I'm going to play. This will come to a head with he and Bob Huggins, and it won't end well. It's got to be one or the other. Either I'm in and I'm with this group and I'm playing, or I'm out. I think that's where we're at with this.
I agree with that.
All right. So Huggins has said he's going to fix it, and he said either this year or next year. Either this year or next year. When he said next year, is he talking about Oscar Tshiebwe and other names?
Well, speaking of Oscar, real quick side note, programming note, if you want to see Oscar, the five-star WVU commit, he's in Morgantown coming up Saturday the 22nd. Metro News is going to televise that on the Metro News channel, wvmetronews.com. Now, I don't know if you can just get him eligible. Now, Texas Tech just did that. They got a guy eligible randomly. All of a sudden, he's coming in. Maybe he can reclassify? Can he reclassify and just skip over across town?
Not quite yet.
Oh, you can't do that yet?
So okay. you're not overselling Tshiebwe, are you?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, probably. Probably. Oversold Hargett, too, back in the day, so you might as well over. Have you Everyone's seen the highlights
oversold.
Of the kid, though? Have you seen the highlights of the kid? He had 11 dunks in a game here this week.
Against who?
Well, I don't know. Who cares?
High school kids?
I don't care if he's playing against me. He got 11 dunks. No. Nate, I like the kid. Big body.
He plays
can
hard.
Rebound, can run the floor.
I've coached him in AAU. He plays hard. If there's one thing he does, he'll rebound the ball. He's going to run the court. He does all the little stuff. So as long as he comes in and does all that, then I think it's going to be very successful. But Coach Hugg's saying he's going to fix this thing. You got to take that and understand he's going to fix it. And let's remember back in, what is it, 2013? We went 13-19, say he's going to fix it, and then we went to three Sweet 16s in the next 5 years. It's not we're not in a doom and gloom state of West Virginia basketball.
Well, no,
we still have Bob Huggins.
You still got Bob Huggins, and he.
Here's why it's dooming. It's doom and gloom because exactly what you just said. It's doom and gloom because there's been three Sweet 16s in the last 4 years or whatever. This is a program that had moved past being a good team. It had become an elite program, right? Three straight Big 12 title game appearances. Those Sweet 16s, those deep runs. We are unaccustomed to seeing this over the last 4 or 5 years. So that's why you sit here now, and I think it becomes more glaring to fans because this just is not the norm over the last few seasons.
I agree with that.
It's an interesting time, okay? It's a and don't take this the wrong way, it's actually a great story. I don't mean it's great news, but it's a great story because this is a huge challenge. I got a text that we were talking about this morning on my show, and I got a text from somebody who said, I bought season tickets to the basketball, WV basketball, for the first time ever, and boy, am I disappointed.
Yeah.
You know, he said, I'm driving up from Charleston to these games. And clearly, I mean, this has an impact. This has an impact because people, the team isn't as good, losing games, the whole Canate drama. So people aren't as motivated as they would be normally to go to the game.
No, that's what you hate to see because basketball is much different than football. And football in this state, it's on Saturday every week. People come in, they make plans around it. It's an easy thing to get to. Basketball, to sell the place out on a Monday night at 9 p.m. isn't easy. People are taking time out of their day to come watch a good product, and over the last 4 years, we have built up a good product that people have been excited to see.
You can say great product.
Yes.
People have been excited to come see us. We've beat the number one team in the country 3 times at home. We've done a lot of things, and now I don't want to say it's getting wasted, but if people start to get discouraged to come to the games again, then it's going to take a long time to build that up again.
Well, what happens when you have success, though? We've seen this all the time. What happens when you have success to the bar? The bar gets raised and the expectations get raised. So unfair or not, Sweet 16s have become an expectation. So I think here's a quick PSA for you. Here's a quick PSA.
All right.
I think we should also, as fans, the fan part of all of us, should enjoy when things are going really well.
Oh, you have to, sure.
Because
at
any minute, we get into that mode of, it's just going to happen every year, football and basketball. It's really hard, and it's not going to, and at some point it's going to come back down, and that's where West Virginia finds itself right now. So how quickly can it get fixed and get it turned around? That's the question moving forward.
That is, and you're right, the expectations have been raised. That's a good thing. You want them to be high, but then that's the downside. That's the other side of that equation. But then again, you do have this compelling story. This Canate story is a fascinating story. It's a drama, and it's going to play itself out, maybe not on the court, maybe off the court. But it's not the way it is now, it is not sustainable.
Mm-hmm. Agree.
Okay.
No, agree.
So something's going to give at some point, and there's going to be a larger story to this.
Correct. Okay. It's either Canate's back or Canate's not back. There's your only two options, right? It's not going to exist with the in for a couple, out for a couple.
It can't sustain at this level.
Correct.
Right?
Correct. So resolution has to be coming.
Exactly. All right. Well, Tony did not show up for the entire broadcast.
I say we fire him. This was a pretty good one.
You want to fire him?
This was a good one. This is next man up. We just step up.
Next man up. We'll see you.